Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As I was walking yesterday and giving a tour, I was giving a tour of the facilities, I remember having my last conversations with some of you guys. And I remember that you guys made a point to tell me some of the important things that you felt that I probably should take with me as I moved to California. 2 days ago, I had a similar conversation with my father-in-law. And I remember that he's a man of few words, but his words were pretty clear. "Thank you. Please continue to take care of my daughter." For some reason, the last words that we have and the last words carry a great weight. And Jesus' last words are these words. I want you guys to think about this, but sometimes Jesus asks questions. Sometimes he said, "So who do people say that I am?" So many times Jesus used another ways to convey information. But this time, Jesus comes back and he says, "Please sit down," not even please, "sit down and you will listen. Go." I want you guys to think also of the context of this passage in which the gospel is starting to say, like, now the Gentiles are invited into this family. This gospel is going to move forward and all over. And that's a beautiful thing to think about. So I want you to think that as we continue. At the same time, we cannot separate this verse from how chapter 28 started. What happens in chapter 28? And this is good because it's a small group. So what happens in chapter 28? One person at a time, please. Exactly. Thank you, Pastor Leek. Resurrection. My hermanos, the greatest event in human history had just happened. Jesus proved that he was who he said he was. The redemptive history, this is the climax. And Jesus comes out from there, and he comes in and says, "All authority is being given to me." All authority. These are marching orders. Authority means that he's powerful enough to make it happen. I want you to just, it's the greatest news, and he comes in and he says, like, "Don't fear. I got this. You have to just go. And it will happen because he's powerful enough." Many of us are really scared to go and share. Right? I am. I am. And this verse talks so much of all authority has been given to me. And that's the same thing. Go. Go. And then he says, go. I feel that it's especially true. And I'm going through this so fast, and then I'm going to get to start to share some of the ministry in Ecuador. But what I've seen as I got to Masters was that there's this idea that missions is just kind of a little part, a compartment of the Christian life, you know? There's a missions committee, and it's good to have committees, but it just kind of becomes like, okay, this is their thing. I mean, I know that someone in this church probably thinks, like, that's Steve Reisman's, like, big-time passion, you know? He's always talking about missions, you know? But it's just really interesting that here it's for all Christians. It's a commandment. We are all to go. That looks different for different people, but we're all to go. I think it's really easy for you guys to say, like, well, you kind of have an accent. It seems like, from what we know about you, that you like to go to different places. Probably, like, I mean, I could see why you want to go. Right? Yeah, man, go, come on. This is not my thing. This is not the missions committee thing. This is not some person that speaks a lot about missions thing. This is our Lord's thing. I have to stop there for a minute. One of my professors, his name is Brad Buser, and he had the privilege of bringing the gospel and translating the New Testament for a little tribe in Papua New Guinea called the Aitetis. And he used to say this. He used to say, like, I don't know why, but as I walk around campus at the Master's College, there's a lot of people that come to me and they say, like, you know,
I'm really excited about missions. Someone else will say, like, you know, I really think I am called to missions. Someone else will come in and say, you know, I'm considering, I'm praying about missions. And one of the points that he used to say is like, what if I just got married a year ago to a beautiful woman that I still don't understand how she married me. But it's for me, what would it be if you hear me say like, Amaris, I am considering loving you. I am really praying over being faithful to you. Many of us laugh. I wish my brother-in-law would be here, because then you realize what I'm so terrified to say, that he's a lieutenant colonel of the army. But we just don't say that because these are orders. Many of us treat missions in that sense. It's like a badge of honoring, which is like, oh, those people are into missions. I'm not. A church needs to get an idea globally that missions is our way of life. For some of you guys, that might look going to an unreached people group somewhere that is really hard to get to. For some of you guys, that will mean other countries. For some of you guys, it might mean an underground culture within the U.S. society. For those of you, it just means your neighbor. Some minority group in the United States. But we're all called to that. Please, let's not make badges. And it's so hard because I am a prideful man. And it's so interesting when I come to the U.S. and people are like, wow, you're in Ecuador. You have neighbors. You have family that are not saved. That should be your heart. That should be your heart. As I was finishing my time at Masters, my heart got, in an interesting way, and thankfully with men like Brad Buser and other professors at the school, and I realized the importance of going. And for me, Ecuador was the first step, as Stephen said, but my heart was really set on unreached people groups. 90% of the resources that Christians have go to the English, for English resources. 90%. There's many thousands of tribes and especially people groups all over the world that don't have any chance of having an interaction with someone that is a Christian or with a Christian resource, with the gospel. My heart was breaking. And I remember just calling some friends, and we had a really cool group of friends that we were just thinking, you know what, we're going to go to the toughest places in the world. We will. And it was neat because was able to connect with some other people. And they were like, you know what? You can have a taco truck in somewhere in the 1040 window. And you can come in with a taco truck. And then you can start church plant. I was like, wow, let's do it, you know? And it was great. And plus, I'm Ecuadorian, so I have a passport that is not blue. So that helps me even get to places faster. So it's great. So I was thinking through those things. And I was like, I'm so excited. Actually, I got an email 2 weeks ago from a friend that it has a team going to Bangladesh, and he keeps emailing. He's like, hey, man, are you coming? Hey, like, you're coming, right? As we started dating and engaged, we got a call from some missionary that has been sending Brazilian missionaries into the 1040 window, and they told us, like, hey, do you guys want to come and teach English in Lebanon, in one of the worst places in Lebanon that you could possibly imagine? And I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. That's great. And the Lord does what he usually does sometimes, and he just switched it over. Before you know it, the step put another step in that way. So that was A, and there was C, going to this unreached people group. And then he says, you know what? You have to go to Ecuador. And I'm going to break your heart in so many different ways. And I get there. And as I got to Ecuador, my pride just came out full on. I was like, Ecuador. Like, they've been receiving the gospel since a long time ago. Jim Elliot and all those guys got it all done. And my heart started to break. I started to walk around, and I started to see how, like John Piper says, it's a spiritual and theological famine in my country. Let me give you two quick stories that will really, I think, show you how things are in Ecuador. Because I think that as many of you guys probably think about the same stuff, you know, like, why do we send missionaries to those places where they already have the gospel, they already have the resources? Let's go to the ends of the world, and that's great. But let me share something. I live in the street called Bos Andes, that was named after HCJB World Radio. Some of you guys familiar with HCJB World Radio? Okay. There's a radio station that's been broadcasting the gospel worldwide for a long time, and that is in the same street. Across the street, there are all the missionary houses, so the Roger Udare Memorial House, the ACGB Memorial House, there's tons of them, all of them here. And across the street, you have a library, bookstore, I think in Spanish sometimes. So there's a bookstore across the street, and my wife and I get there, and we're like, wow, like, this is our neighborhood, like, we should go check out what is in the bookstore. So we walked in. And I know this bookstore, and I've heard a lot about this bookstore because the guy that owns the bookstore is a pastor in the area of a pretty big church. So I asked her, and I just played dumb. So I'm like, and then I asked him, hey, do you have any books on leadership? So he points like, absolutely, we have everything here. So he points at one of the shelves, and he says, like, that top shelf. So I look there, and there's MacArthur's book on leadership, and then there's two other books, one of them of an extremely known prosperity gospel guy, and another one from a man that has a really strong Texas accent. And he shows me the three books, and I just say, like, wow, really? So I just ask him, and I just say, like, hey, which book would you recommend? And this is a pastor, so I'm like, this is going to be good. And this is, again, let me remind you, this is a block from ACGV that I love their ministry, a block from tons of really churches that are known in Ecuador. This is right in the middle. And he says, like, any of those books will do. And I asked him, really? He's like, yeah, all of them pretty much do the same thing. That is the spiritual famine that we have over there. Anything goes. At the same time, before I was able to get to work in the school that I'm working at now, I had the opportunity to translate a lot. So a team came from the U.S., and they decided to go to the jungle to the evangelism. So I'm excited. They're my friends. Let's go to the jungle. So we get to the jungle. They do their puppet show. They do their teaching. They do the evangel cue. Great. It's awesome. I get to translate the whole thing. And at the end of the time, they ask, so how many of you guys will want to receive the Lord? 130 hands went up in the whole trip. I was able to stay in one of the communities for a day extra just because I always love the jungle. So I just stay there, and I just actually sat down with them. I'm like, okay, so what do you guys need? And they just looked at me just really puzzled. Why are you asking us this? And I said, like, well, like, why, after you've done this decision, what do you need now? And they said, like, you know what? We do this every summer. We just have it in rotations in which some people raise their hand 1 year and the next year some other people, because we just want to make sure that this American people keep coming to our land because it helps us our economy. It helps our little bracelets that we sell. And it's interesting because I've seen so many PowerPoints for years in which it shows like 130 people are converted to the Lord. Are they really? Or are we just exporting a mediocre Christianity? It breaks my heart. I walk around Ecuador and I talk to people, and tons of people tell you, of course, like, at some point I walk down the aisle. At some point I raise my hand. And churches are dying. Churches are dying. Last week I had the opportunity to travel to visit some friends down in Louisville, Kentucky, right? Yeah, Louisville. And through different connections, the Lord knew, and I got to meet with Dr. David Sales. He's the missiologist and anthropology main guy for Southern Seminary. He's going to be in some conference coming up, so really well-known missiologist in the world. And I just sat down and was like, am I crazy? Because I knew that he worked in Ecuador for 12 years, and I said, like, Dr. Sales, help me here. Am I crazy? I'm only 29 years of age. I haven't seen anything. I don't say that I know it all. But you have been there for 12 years. Am I crazy? Or am I just like throwing rocks at what the Lord has done? I don't want to do that. And the Lord has done great things. And he sat down and told me, like, I actually wrote a book about it. And he started to share with me about how he feels that that is one of the biggest things that is happening. And I recommend you guys as a missions committee that just get this book. It's a great book because it tells you, yes, it's good. Let's go reach. But don't forget about the teaching. This verse that we read earlier today, it says, go to all the nations. And then he kept saying, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It doesn't say, go to the nations and make converts. It says, go out to the nations and make disciples. And that takes time. And that takes taking people off for coffee. and inviting them to Home Depot to talk predestination when they have a mohawk and all sorts of stuff that probably wouldn't fit here. I love that some of you guys know what I'm talking about. That's what some people here did with me. And I will fight them. But they were just so gentle. And I know many people that have incredible hearts in this area that need that. And they're hurt by church because of that. Because sometimes we see them and are like, oh, no. Anyways, this is what Dr. Seale says in his book that absolutely kills me. This new understanding of the task of the international missions is so common today that many consider it to be normative. Since the prevalence of this methodology has been growing for well over a decade, we are now seeing its consequences and ramifications. The most frequent consequence is that churches left in the wake of such efforts either fall apart rapidly and disappear or degenerate into dysfunctional gatherings with unbiblical doctrine and practice. As a result, the new believers are often victims of aberrant doctrine, heresy, cult outreach, or nominal Christianity for the rest of their lives. The church the missionaries leave behind is very often anemic at best and a syncretistic aberration at worst. We are responsible for that, my friends. I'm going to show you guys a DVD soon. And you can queue it up, and I'll let you know. And it was at that point that my heart broke completely. And I decided, as much as I would love to go to be a soccer coach in the middle of a country that I can't even pronounce its name, I can't do it. By God's grace, he allowed me to move me out of my comfort zone in Ecuador and drop me in Maryland, that at that point I didn't like at all. Away from my family, away from my culture. And for some reason that only he knows, he allowed me to meet people like people in this room that have been an incredible encouragement to me, had allowed me to learn some of the things that I've learned, not because of me, not because of the experiences that my wife has had, and then send me back in. One of the interesting things is that I know the culture. I know the language, and I see what's happening. And it's a blessing to be able to see there. And at the same time, it breaks my heart when the gospel has minimized to this prosperity, well, like Jesus is here to make you happy thing. And it's not a beautiful, huge Savior that's worthy to be praised. Now I'm going to kind of transition a little more into what are we doing in Ecuador. But I want to make sure that we talked pretty briefly about why we do missions. Because it's really easy to get excited because we buy shoes that $10 go to some place. Or we just helped out with a whale in Africa, which is great. Like, I can tell you, actually, at some point, some people actually in this room helped me with a CD in which we produced, and there were money that went to a whale. And at the same time, it's great, but that's not it. That's not what the Lord is calling us when he says, go and tell them to observe all that I have commanded you, baptize, all that stuff, okay? So I just want you to please just check on the screen, and this is twofold ministry that we do in Ecuador, okay?
I never foresaw myself coming to a school to work, but definitely had a heart for the mission field and wanted to be someplace abroad. So mission is something in my future, but didn't think necessarily that it would be at a school.
Our goal in elementary department is to lead our children into a relationship with each other. happened in this week's Hall. Sermon. Can you pray for me? It's just amazing how showing a little bit of love gets opened the door to many ministries.
I really enjoy teaching a course we have called The Bible is Literature. Several of the students in the class have not read much of Scripture. They don't come from a church background, and so this class is serving in many ways as an introduction to the basic stories of the Bible for them.
I'm interested in studying accounting, the class I really like, the Bible classes. I've taken 3 years of Bible classes from my teacher, who's like really kind of mentor, and he's walking that through my walk with Christ in high school. Right now, I'm taking the Bible teacher's discipleship class, which is really interesting because before I was in a secular home, and we went to church sometimes.
Since being here, I've seen so many opportunities in the school, just working with the kids, being able to share with them, and being able to pray with them.
It's pretty powerful to watch our students, particularly engaged in the region, not only within the school campus, but outside the school campus.
We're closed down on Wednesday afternoon, no activities, no programs, in order to permit for students to go out with their CSO group, which is Christian Student Outreach. We have students who go to the public dump every week to minister to children whose families live off the dump.
We were thinking that our son, who was 7 years old, should receive Christian education because he was learning from kids' classes and from television.
We're a Christian school, but a lot of our students are not from Christian homes. So this year I had a new student who came from a Catholic background and came with a lot of questions about God. So first day of school, we were talking about what's the Bible and the basics about how God created the world. He said, no, it was a big bang. And so from there, first day of school, I knew that God had purpose for this little boy.
We have heard that this school was very good with the moral and religious values. He started to learn about Jesus, who is his teacher. We noticed a lot of changes in him, in his behavior, in his secret, in knowing more about Jesus. He started to ask us to be part of his daily life because his teacher has introduced him to Jesus' family and to eternal life.
And he was thinking about God and wanting to know more. And by spiritual emphasis, we went the last day when they asked if you'd like to accept Christ, he said yes.
He started to invite me to come to school to find somebody who can introduce me to Jesus' family. There was a family day. We came for this family day, and my son told me that I should ask these Americans to help me and introduce me to Jesus' family. So I asked them to do that. They did a little ceremony, let's say, and they invited me to go to a Christian church every Sunday. We started to do that. We have gone to this church for probably 6 or 7 Sundays already. So the entire family was brought to the Lord through the ministry of the school, combining the ministry of the parents and the ministry of the students in the classroom and the chapel. It is because of the school that he became interested in knowing about Jesus. And it is because of the school that he started to read the Bible. And of course, it is because of the school that he was eager to include his parents in Jesus' family, because he wanted us to have eternal life. These type of exciting testimonies really underscore the value of a school of this sort, which serves not only the believing evangelical community, but also the families that desire what we have to offer, come for the purpose of values and principles and English education, and end up exposed to the gospel. And then take that gospel back to their own country of origin, to their own workplace, to their own community. This is one of the incredible opportunities of Christian education in this context.
Okay, so now let me just explain a little bit of what we do in Ecuador. We're working at this point with two specific parts. One of them is the Alliance Academy International. Alliance is, I will say, in the top 5 schools in the country. It's a school that is sought after by many, many people. Our waiting list is something around 300 kids every school year. Because it's an English school, the standards are the U.S. standards. You have great faculty. And at the same time, it just becomes a great influencing point. That school has been there for about 85 years. So Steve Saint went to our school, just to give you an idea. Diplomats, one of my students, his dad is the owner of one of the major companies in Ecuador. And at the same time, you have missionary families that send their kids there, as well as pastor families that send their kids there. So it was so neat how the Lord put us strategically in that place. Just because it's one of those places where a lot of information is disseminated everywhere. So if you don't mind starting with that PowerPoint, that'd be really helpful just to give you a little of an idea. Please wait again. Okay. So I work in the special education department, which is great. It's the only special education department in the whole country. It's the only school where you can send your kids. So many families that have come to our school are sending their kids to our school because they've been kicked out of so many other schools, and our school is the only school that will accept them, which has opened a huge opportunity for ministry just in that sense. So families that were completely shut down by every school, it's been great. At the same time, the pictures don't show well, but the top right, it says Viva Honduras. The school actually sent me to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, to just look at another program for special education with the hopes to expand our program, already existing program. So even through that, or the impact of that school, it's through the whole region, not only Ecuador. Let's go on the next slide, please. My wife is incredible, and one of the things that she's so gifted at is just building relationships. Because of her ministry in this school, we have been asked many times to do counseling seminars, so dating, what does that mean? So we've done a lot of those, and next year they've asked us to be dorm parents. There's 5 or 6 students now that actually live in the school. 2 of them are from China, 3 of them are Americans, that their parents are missionaries in different parts of South America, and one of them is actually a girl that is from a native tribe in the jungle, and she's on scholarship at the school. So please pray for that. But that's another one of our ministries there. I'm going to try to run through this one. As you heard on the video, we have a strong chapel ministry. By God's grace, we've been asked to be in regular rotation now for chapel next year. So we're really excited about that. That includes K through 12th grade. Another big opportunity that presented itself last year was that the school has every few years different types of conferences. So we have an ACSI conference, Association of Christian Schools International. And the last day, they opened the conference for all Ecuadorian teachers. And this is really big because through the school, we had something, I think there were 800 people coming from schools all over the country to our school. And I was asked actually to do one of the workshops, which was a great blessing because I was able, and as we were praying through, and that was our hope, is to use the special education as a little window to actually get into what is the teaching happening in their schools, what is happening in their churches. And it's great. Like, until now, we still get emails from people in the other side of the country saying, like, okay, what do you say about God having, you know, all the glory? What does that really look like? So that means that, you know, he's not about just my money or things like that. And it's really neat. Let's keep going, please. The school also has connections with a ton of different ministries all over the country. So this is a little skate ministry, and I like the lights. yeah, and the fireworks are about to come out. Yeah, and also there's opportunities to just speak at various different ministries all over the area. Thank you. That guy on the right bottom, it's one of the people that actually killed the missionaries in the jungle. We have a connection with Ecuador para Cristo. That is an organization that has been training national leaders, and we've been having the opportunity to actually collaborate with them in some of their teaching for pastors. Some of you guys heard about this. This is a great story, but this is actually a coastal property that someone has asked us, like, could you please come in and just teach our people? So this is in the coast. The other one was in the jungle. We're also, and this might sound crazy, but when I lived in the States, I was able to connect with Compassion International. I heard that some of you guys are really excited about Compassion International. And they've asked me sometimes to go translate, and we just help out a lot with some of those ministries. So pray for that and the opportunities that might open as we help out with Compassion International and their ministry down in South America. And this is the last one. There's a lot of training that has been happening in Ecuador, and many of that training happens through translation. So the Lord has opened the opportunity for us to go and just translate for this conference. Actually, Dr. Seals will be there 2 days after we get there, and he asked me to please come and just help him with some of the translation, which is great, and we're really excited. One of the things that happens after usually this type of training, and it's what I've seen in as a national, is that they will give you their binders for every participant, and when the participant comes to the conference, they will nod and say, yeah, we believe in that, but then they will go to their jungle village or to their little anywhere in Ecuador, and what happens is that they get there, and then they meet with whatever their leadership looks like, and the leaders will be like, well, let's start looking into that, and, well, actually, eldership. We believe that women should be elders, so let's take that one out, you know? And then and the whole thing. So by the time I actually was able to go to some of those places, you realize that the teaching was not the same teaching anymore. So that's why I'm really excited to share with you guys the next thing that we were really excited about, and is that we started a church plan. We just realized that we needed a church that would actually model what we believed in. Because as we were training people, we realized that many of those people went back and they kind of picked and choose, like, well, I like this. Well, I'm not sure about this, so maybe I won't do this part. So, and we just realized that. So we just decided to start a church plan. And that picture on the right, the bottom right, it's actually from a concert that I went and I just showed up and someone had known me from the touring days and had said, like, hey, please translate for us, like, the message. And in that conference, in that concert, if you can please go to the next slide, I met this guy. Well, met, quote unquote. His name is Jonathan Padilla, and this will transition to the last part. I officially met him while I was at Hope, and I had gone to Ecuador to just visit my family. And I was wearing one of my T-shirts with bands, and he actually knew that band. And actually, this is one band that of some people that are here. And this guy asked me, like, really, you like those guys? And this conversation just started. This is crazy. I didn't talk about that. And so I just sat with him in the sidewalk outside and just asked him, like, hey, man, like, yeah, I live in the States, and this is kind of what I do, and I'm really excited. I don't know if I'll ever come back to Ecuador. And the relationship started 6 years ago. Last year, I went to a concert, and he was there. And we started talking. And he had gone through so many things. And 3 days later, 4 days later, he messaged me on Facebook, and he's like, hey, can I call you? He called me at 3 a.m. or something like that. And his world had turned inside out. And before you know it, I was the one taking him for coffee. And I was the one telling him, like, hey, babe, can we have him over for dinner? And he came, and we got to spend time. He's the guy that will love God, but hate the church or just a lot of other stuff. And it's interesting because he's been so committed now to the church plant. Thank you. Thank you for praying into me so that I can do that now. His name is Jonathan, and please pray for him. He's going through a lot of stuff. I'm discipling him, and it's a blessing. Could you please keep going? So let me just introduce a little bit more about the church plant. These are the people that are the older elders. Stephen Youngreen on the left, Juan Manuel, we're all Juans in the church, and then Noah. Two of them are from the States, and Juan Manuel is actually from Ecuador. And as crazy as this is my son, we actually apparently went to school together when we were in sixth grade. So it's one of those things, and it's just really exciting. If we keep going, please. So that's the name of our church, it's called La Fuente, the Fountain. And it just shares a little bit of the values. We have a lot of teaching, in Ecuador teaching. I was talking with Pastor Lee yesterday, and people don't like expository preaching. And he was telling me about some of the stuff that he went through at the beginning of the church. And we see the same thing. We see exactly the same thing. People want to go out. People want to go and do all this other stuff without knowing what are they reaching him to. Let's go reach out, but where are you reaching him to? That's not that clear. And that's why, like, teaching has been really more. Truth means verdad in Spanish. We've been just really pushing that truth is what drives everything else. Good theology. And that's, I know it's not famous, it's not popular to say. But if you don't have good theology, where are you helping people to? If you don't know who God is, how are you going to adore God? So that's really important. The next one is community, and that, I don't know what the picture is. Can you please keep going? A big part of our emphasis is community. Just the life of the Christian should be based on a community of people in which you can actually live to one another. There's 30-something one another's in the Bible, but if you're not meeting with people, how can you obey the one another's? So a lot of the stuff we've been pushing is like, this is about community. It's not such thing as like, I raise my hand and I'm saved, so that's it. Okay. Another thing is that my wife has a degree in biblical counseling, and she's been able to do some sessions for the ladies, and then the elders, we were able to sit down and just kind of share in. So it's huge. Biblical counseling is unheard of. And I could just keep going, and I know for the sake of time, can keep going too much longer. So mission, again, it all runs together. So after you see what you've been saved and you're living in community, the least thing that you can do is go and reach out. So this is our church plant actually making sandwiches, and we go to a hospital every Tuesday, and some great opportunities has opened that way. At the same time, I wanted to share with you guys the lady on the bottom left. Her name is Ana Cecilia. That was our first visit as a married couple. We got there and we got an email from someone in the States saying, like, my aunt has been going through all these 10 different churches in the last 3 years. And she's super lost. She has no idea who Jesus is anymore. So we just called her and she said, like, please come and visit. And we just weren't sure how that's going to look. She bailed on us one time. The next time we went and we sat with her for 2 hours. And she shared with us how her understanding of the gospel didn't work, because she had received Jesus and she thought that, well, now I'm going to have a new car. And her house was robbed 2 times. No. And then she said that she went to a church in which prophecy was a big thing. And she realized that none of the prophetic thing that they said happened. She was mad at God. And she was hurt too. And as we were sharing, this conversation took 2 and something hours. And we were just trying to tell her that God is the gospel. God promises you that he is awesome. And because he is awesome, the world, your life is going to be satisfied because of him, not because of everything else. Even though you don't have a gospel. And I remember her shaking and saying, like, I see what you're saying, but there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can do this, Juan Fernando. It scares me. And we're not about, like, April, just raise your hand. So I just started, like, please, just go and read your Bible. 3 days later, he called us and she's like, I can't run away from it. I can't run away from it. I'm terrified because I see that God is about him and his glory. But I can't run away from it. He gave her life to the Lord, and actually 3 weeks ago we got that she got baptized. All of our right understanding and just like sharing that. Would you please keep going? This is another guy that actually he married an Ecuadorian. He was with a Peace Corps. And same story, all over the place for churches. And he came over and he fell in love with the Lord and with the gospel. And we baptized him recently. Yeah. So as I close, you can just shut it down now. Thank you. In Ecuador, one of the main problems that we had is that we've done a great job of providing for the needs of people, that it's great. It's great to go with medical missions team. It's great to help and build wells. But many times, if we're not careful, people are going to fall in love with the fact that you're sending money overseas and not with Jesus. And not with a person of God. I'm thinking of Margarita. She's a lady that we recently, well, one of our, Juan Manuel met her years ago, and recently we just decided that we needed to take care of this lady. She was found with some disease on her spine, and she went to the hospital and came back on a wheelchair. When she came back from the hospital, her husband and her whole family had disowned her. They just left her. She said that she got into the house and she couldn't find a curtain. She didn't have a glass to put water. Everyone had left her. And she looked at us and she told us, and at that point I realized that God was my treasure. That is the gospel that we need to share internationally. Because guess what? Ecuador still is a super unstable country. 3 days ago, and this breaks my heart, because many people go and say, like, well, this is about the people, and it is about the people, and I love the people in Ecuador, but this is about God that is bigger than all this. A few days ago, one of our friends that is actually helping us build a training center so we can train pastors and help out people got robbed at gunpoint. And they were held at gunpoint for 3 hours. And at that moment, as an Ecuadorian, I am angry. Because these people are trying to help us. 2 years ago, a friend, Stacy Smith, she's a 31-year-old lady that gave her life to just start an orphanage in Ecuador. She got kicked out of the country for no reason at all. And it's really easy for me to get frustrated and think like, but oh, it's not about the people. It's about God's glory. It's about God's glory. My friends, as I finish this, I just want to encourage you to live lives and to push for people that go overseas to live lives that make Jesus look beautiful. That either is a degree or either is a soccer team or a World Cup or education or health or family. All those things are given to us so that we can show the world that Jesus is our all. It's hard for me. I've cried this week, and I've seen my wife cry. As I leave the States, I kind of don't want to leave. I love this place, and I love its comforts it provides. And it's true that there's a lot of instability, but if you compare that to the instability that happens in Ecuador and other places that have it worst, it's nothing. And I would love to stay. But that would not show Jonathan, Cecilia, and Margarita that I love Jesus more than I can put those things down. Jesus is awesome, my friends, and that's missions. And if you live that way here in Colombia, when you go to anywhere in the world, it's going to be the same thing. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that I would have made you look beautiful, not because of me or my words, but because you are incredible. Because you are satisfying, because you are the one that pursues us, because you are the one that takes us away from our death and gives us eternal life. And not only that, but you just fill our hearts with understanding that the living God dwells inside of us. Let us learn to enjoy you. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the people that are around here. Thank you for their input in my life. There's so many of them, and I know that I would want to talk to each one of them, but I just don't think that's possible. But I just pray that you will just empower them to be missionaries, either in the urban parts here, if that means going to a different country, if that means in a rock show or anyway. Just empower them to see you as more beautiful than anything else, God. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. We thank you. We celebrate you and can't wait until with all authority you come back. And we celebrate with you, Lord God. Until that day, we want to be tired of making your name look great amongst the people in the world. In the name of Christ, we pray, amen.